Welcome to the Part-Time Money Podcast, Episode 1, Making Money as a Freelance Photographer. I'm your host, Philip Taylor, creator of PT Money Personal Finance. All right, well, thanks for joining me today. This is the first episode. I'm kicking off this podcast because I know you guys want more information about making money, specifically making money in a part-time business, making money on the side, outside of your normal job, just some way to bring in some extra income, whether that be to, you know, pay off some extra debts that you have, to raise money for savings, or for whatever it is. That's what this podcast is geared toward. I took a survey on my blog a couple of weeks ago. The number one problem people said they were having was not enough income, and they wanted more content from me on how to make more income. I know how to blog. I know how to do some affiliate marketing, but you know, as far as any other businesses out there, I'm not a pro. So my, I guess, solution to that answer was to bring in some other people and to conduct interviews over a podcast format with people who are doing part-time gigs or have created side businesses that are now successful to bring in extra money. So that's why I'm doing this podcast. It's going to be ideally, it's going to be posted every Friday with a different interview. But if it's on a subject that you have no interest in, I hope you'll stay tuned because hopefully there's some you know, business principles that apply across whatever type of making money idea you have. And so hopefully there'll be some information for everyone in each podcast. And then lastly, I just want to thank you for listening and reading and for participating and being a part of this. And let's get it kicked off. This first interview is with my friend Justin, who is a freelance photographer. All right, here we are today. I'm with my friend Justin, and Justin started a what you would call, I guess, a freelance photography business on the side. He's got a really interesting story as to why he started the business, and also, you know, what he's been able to do with the income. Justin and I are friends that go way back. He actually is the guy who helped me make the PT Money rap video. If you've seen that, he's actually the guy who helped me edit that. And so he's been around a while and definitely a good friend. I'm excited to learn about this new venture in his life. And he hasn't always been a photographer. This is something he's picked up on in the past couple of years. So there's a lot of people out there I know who are in a similar situation, either wanting to do this or having just started this. And so I think Justin's success will be a real asset to other people who may be listening to this. So, Justin, just want to say, first of all, welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. So how did you get started, I guess, as a freelance photographer? Or maybe give me a little bit of a background as to what you're doing, what your full-time job is, and then how you're doing this freelance photography business.
Sure, sure. I'm currently a media director at a church, and just kind of got into the photography side of things just by that being in a general area of some of the things that I do as far as creatively. Hadn't really I've done more video than photography initially, but it's kind of like all things. Once you kind of get the confidence in a certain area, other parts of that area in that category, such as photography, film, kind of spawn off of that because you kind of have that confidence in that area. But I kind of got my wife and I were talking about trying to generate some extra income to fund our adoption of a child from Ethiopia. And I kind of did some thinking about it and trying to think of ways that we could generate that income and try to think of things that I already had possession of, things like I did have a small SLR camera at the time, a Nikon D40, and I had been taking some pictures just recreationally for the kids and family time, and I started thinking of things that I already had, skills I already had that I could put to work for this this great cause. And so what I ended up doing is kind of coming up with a branding or something to call it. My wife helped with this. We ended up calling it One Day Closer. We're getting one day closer to our adoption, the campaign. That's what we initially called it. And then we made the photography one smile closer, because every time you smile and take a picture, we were set a price of a suggested donation of about $100 for a session, a quick session of pictures, and that was one smile closer to us reaching our goal. So the branding was the initial phase, and we didn't want to come up with something that people weren't already spending money on, because with family and kids, you're already spending money probably on pictures or maybe going and getting some pictures done of your kids at the mall or or having a friend do them and paying them a little bit. So that's kind of where we came up with the photography. It's kind of reallocating money that people are going to spend somewhere else, but to use it for a good purpose, we thought. Okay. So that's kind of how I initially got into it.
Okay, awesome. Man, yeah, I have so many questions now based off that response. But I'll start with just framing it in terms of the timeline here. How long have you been doing – when did you, I guess, have your first photography session?
First photography session was this past summer in 2010, so it's been about 6 months, I guess, roughly.
Okay.
Since we started our first one. And it started off kind of slow. We had one here, one there, and then it kind of gradually increased to where the last several weeks before Christmas, after Thanksgiving, we had 30 sessions booked. So
okay,
in a 3 week period.
I've heard a little bit about adoptions. That's a pretty lofty financial goal to be taking to be taken on. So, has this side business been able to help you achieve that ultimate financial goal of being able to adopt?
Absolutely. The goal financially for us was $30,000, which sounds like a lot, and it really was at the beginning. But the photography has raised close to five grand or so far of that goal in a short period of time, in 6 months. So, and the total process of adoption takes a couple of years. So if you kind of do the math, four times what we've made now, we're probably looking at, $24,000, in that period of time, if you played out the math there. So so far, it's been really well in a short period of time, helped us reach closer to that goal of $30,000.
Okay. Man, that sounds awesome. So you mentioned $100 a session.
Yes.
It was a suggested donation.
Yes.
Sort of maybe walk us through that initial session you had with someone, and I guess maybe the nervousness going into that. And you really didn't have a photography background per se. Sounds like you had a good camera to work with, but maybe talk us through those initial sessions and how, I guess, you learned to be confident in the business.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, when we first started, I was taking pictures. My wife was helping me kind of get the attention of the kid or the family or whoever it was while we were trying to take pictures. It really was kind of nerve-wracking at the beginning, because you have to not only pay attention to your technical piece of equipment in your hand, but you also have to interact with the people that you're taking pictures of. So it's kind of a multitasking that's difficult. But as I did more and more of them, the skill kind of became more like the second nature. It wasn't, I didn't think about it as much. And then I was able to just interact with the people. And as I was able to interact more with people I was taking pictures of, I started kind of developing that relationship with them, and that client relationship was good, and so they wanted me to come back and shoot pictures several months later. So it definitely helped the more confident I got at it. But I certainly, when I first started, was not I was paying attention to my camera 90% of the time, 10% interacting with the person I was shooting. So it was kind of crazy times, but now I look back and see how much I've kind of grown and just by doing it multiple times, by getting out there and shooting, and that's definitely helped develop that skill of dealing with people and the equipment.
How did you get your first couple of clients, and how have you been able to market your services continually?
Sure. When we first started, of course, friends are the first people that kind of want to jump on board, because of the adoption being the kind of the center of what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did a lot of friends and friends' families, and that was our initial clients. But once they got the pictures back and friends of theirs saw the pictures, they liked them, and of course they recommended to their friends. So it's kind of this exponential effect, because photography is certainly word of mouth, but also our internet blog we had set up and Facebook was a great outlet, because I'd post pictures as soon as I possibly could, because the more people was you know, was exposed to it, and it was thrown in their face every time they opened up Facebook, the more like, oh, we need to have pictures done. Maybe you can do ours. So the internet definitely helped with that, and word of mouth. So I would say it was kind of a dual outlet to kind of get people to see what we're doing.
Let's delve a little deeper into your Facebook marketing. Kind of walk me through the process of how, I guess, you're connecting with people on Facebook and how that's helping to generate business.
Sure. When we post, every time I get done with a photo session, I post just 5 pictures because I don't want to get to where it's overwhelming posting all the pictures. And plus, I just want to demonstrate my best photos, not any of the ones that aren't up to the very best that I have. But, so I post 5 pictures, and I always like to friend my client on Facebook. So that way I can tag them in the picture, and that allows their friends and family to see it. And that's just another way to have that kind of exponential Facebook effect to where they're seeing it, their family and friends are seeing it. So when any of them get ready for pictures, it's there. And I always like to tie them back into our blog as well. So I'll post the pictures, I'll tag them in the pictures, and they'll have a whole separate post on their wall saying thank you to whoever the client is for helping us reach our goal. And we're one smile closer. And, and I'll actually link the blog right below that. So it's kind of a two-fold marketing strategy. One is to get the pictures and, of course, tag them, but then also link them back to our blog for continuous viewers to be able to go into our blog and not only see pictures but also hear our story. And and that's been a really important thing. I recently went to a conference and got to hear Donald Miller speak, and he talked about you needing to not just give people an idea of a product, but give them a story to latch on to. And not that I'm trying to peddle our adoption as being something artificial that we need to cling on to, but I really wanted people to be able to see what they're investing in, and they're investing in a child. And so by us diverting the people over to our blog, they can see personally what's going on in our lives and what stage in adoption we're in. And it lets them see a little bit more about what their money's going towards. And as a result, obviously, they're going to feel good about the next time they get ready to do pictures to come right back to me and have more makes. They can see where their money's going and pay for our dossier fee, for our adoption fees, and for our home study fees, and just seeing us go through the stages with them being the ones contributing towards that.
That's awesome. Do you actually have a fan page, or is it a your personal
page? I haven't generated a fan page. I just do it on my personal page, but I always link back to my blog, and so that serves as almost a fan landing.
So you talk to the client during the session about connecting on Facebook.
I ask for permission to do that.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome.
And they all 99% of the time they're going to be enthusiastic about it because they want to see their pictures as soon as they're ready. So if I can put them on Facebook and tag them, they're excited.
Right, and then all, like you say, all that they're going to promote it, all their friends and family will see it, and it's just exponential. So,
absolutely. Social media is beautiful.
That's awesome. So let's delve into a little bit of the technical aspect of it. You mentioned when people saw the pictures, you know, they were impressed and said, you know, let's get our pictures taken too. So obviously that means the pictures were well done, either taken well and or with a nice camera, or you know, some type of editing software was applied to the pictures so that, you know, they could really pop and really be a professional looking picture. So obviously that's not something that comes just natural to someone. So maybe talk me through some of the technical parts of taking the pictures, making them look right, and just kind of a general overview of how someone should gain the skill in those areas.
Yeah, and one of the first things that I had heard about and read about online, of course, you want to do some research before you start, kind of get, you know, skip the learning curve as much as possible. But one of the things that I work in is a RAW format, and a lot of your SLR cameras, even the ones that mom shoot at home and get for Christmas, you know, and shoot kids of their pictures, a lot of people kind of shy away from that RAW format because it takes a little more work and a little more space on your computer. Mm-hmm. But what it allows me to do sometimes is if I'm a couple of f-stops too bright or a little bit too dark with my shots, it allows me to correct them with no loss. And so it can't save a picture that's totally, you know, horrible, but it can kind of help you with that learning curve with kind of knowing how to the settings, manual settings on your camera, and knowing how to save a good a good shot, even though you shot a little dark. So that raw format is number one for me, because I do tons of raw editing and not just take it straight into Photoshop. I actually use a raw editor to help me with that. Also, I use Photoshop CS3, and being able to, I probably spent 10 or 15 hours on my first photo session editing, because I just wanted to figure it out. What was my magic formula, you know, to get something that I'd seen other photographers get? And I just kind of have the personality to where I don't want it to just be subpar. I want to be the best I possibly can be. So I want to take the potential I have, which may not be a lot, and I want to do the very best I can with it. So I spent a lot of hours on the front end learning, and now I'm extremely efficient, speedy as a result of all that learning at the beginning. And I say that because when you get a camera and you shoot pictures and you take it back to your computer and dump it on there, you can kind of see, hey, you know, I didn't do this right. And then you learn, and next time you shoot, you know, you pick up ways to shoot it better. But that raw editor definitely helped me make sure that I didn't make huge mistakes that I couldn't recover from. It helped me to kind of be, to skip that learning curve, if you will, in some way.
Okay, so sort of repeat that for the technically illiterate guys like me. You took them in a raw format and then used a raw editing software. What's the name of that software?
Well, it's actually in Photoshop, but you take a Canon camera for sure is what I used for a lot of the picture shoots. It generally creates a JPEG and a raw CR2 file. It does them both. It's a setting on your camera. Even the digital Rebels and your basic SLRs have that function. And you take that CR2, and if you dump it onto your computer, you try to open it up, you get an error message. So you have to go to the Adobe website, and you got to download a little piece of extra software called the Adobe DNG Converter. And once you get that little piece, it'll convert all your pictures over to DNG, and that's basically still raw. It's just a little different tag at the end. And you can double-click on it, open straight into Photoshop. It's native, just like opening a Windows Movie in Windows Movie Maker is, you know, just a straight native file. So the Adobe DNG converter is important. So get it, it's free, it didn't cost you anything extra. It's just Adobe's way of converting that file so it's ready to open in Photoshop.
Okay.
Does that help some?
Man, it's still a little bit over my head, but I'm sure the people who are on the cusp of knowing how to do this right will appreciate that info right there. I can just say I've seen your pictures. We had some taken of Kate, and they're just wonderful. So as professional looking as anything, you know, I would have hoped to have seen. So, in fact, better, because I don't have to pay for the rights to the pictures. You just hand me over a disc, and I have, you know, all the photos right there. I can do anything I want with. But
yeah, we definitely do that. We give our clients the CD with all the digitals on it. So that way, and one thing I found too is that if I give them the CD, then I'll have to spend time ordering pictures and doing all the things that can be time consuming and tedious. I'm done after I hand them the CD.
Okay, so a session usually takes about an hour to 2 hours, right?
We try to keep it around 45 minutes. Now, at the beginning, on the onset, I took longer because I was learning, but now we try to keep her. The session around 45 minutes, and sometimes I'll veer into an hour if it's just going great or if it's just taking a long time. It depends on how I'm feeling that day.
Okay. And the editing part, how long does that take?
Generally, about 3 hours once I get it on my computer. I'll take the memory card and dump it over to my computer, and then I'll use what I mentioned earlier, the Adobe DNG converter that you download from their site for free from Adobe, and I'll convert those over, and I can start editing.
I see. So it sounds like you've got the process down to about 4 hours now, all in all.
Yeah, and that really generates about $33 an hour to $25, depending how efficient or not efficient I am.
Gotcha.
So with that's about what I'm making per session.
Okay. And so with your job at the church, you've got a couple of extra hours every night to be able to do this with, and then you work on the weekends, I'm assuming, for the sessions, right?
Yes, I work on weekends and sometimes in the evenings before the daylight savings time. I'd work a little bit after work, just maybe a session here and there.
Okay. Awesome, man. Well, this has been a great interview, but anything else that I'm missing that you use to kind of maximize your efforts and really ramp up the business?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to talk a little bit more technical just because I know some people are listening and have some cameras at home, and they kind of want to know what the secrets are and things like that.
Sure.
And not that I know everything, but I'll share what some secrets. Two big no-nos, I guess, when you pick up a camera and shoot and get into Photoshop. Don't try to slam the saturation on everything. And if you've ever edited pictures, you know it's tempting just to push all the saturation way up because you want your picture to be super vibrant with color. Mm-hmm. But it does some funky things to the skin tones, and it just doesn't look right. Even though it looks, you can make think it looks better, it's a telltale sign of a newbie, so a beginner. Mm-hmm. So don't try to slam the saturation. And the other big no-no that I see a lot of times that can kind of let people know that you're new is using the dark edges, real dark vignetting, it depends who you ask, just on the edges, and makes it real dark, and it's kind of a telltale sign. So those two things, slamming the saturation and darkening corners so much, it looks like you got just a circle around your picture,
mm-hmm.
Are huge signs of a starter. So try to stay away from those and really pay attention to your skin, the skin of your picture, like zoom really close to them. And take a look at it. If it looks a little greenish or a little blue, and go to your color balance and straighten that out. Because skin tones are the most important part of a picture. If you don't get those right, everybody can tell it's a fake, and you've done a lot of processing on it.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I advise you to do.
Good tip.
Also, there's a great action set that's out there for free, too, that I use several things on. And it's from a pioneer woman,
uh-huh.
or something like that. It's a woman mom blogger who actually has put out some Photoshop actions that are free,
okay.
and she uses in her everyday workflow. So I'm sure that maybe Phil can find the
yep.
link to that. But
yeah.
there's some great actions there to help with sharpening a little bit. There's a slight sharpening tool that she gives you. Just press play and it sharpens it slightly. And when you put them on the web, on Facebook, it kind of makes them pop a little bit more. And I use that kind of as a little bit of icing on the cake,
mm-hmm.
so to speak.
Oh, man, that's good stuff. Any other places?
Yeah.
You mentioned Pioneer Woman. I'm definitely familiar with her. I'll link to her. You mentioned any other places of resources or educational spots where you use online to kind of give you the edge?
I really haven't used as much action as I thought I would when I started this thing, and people are tempted to. I really just use that set for the most part, and I just really try to learn those color balances and those different functions, especially on the RAW editor. So many things you can do. I just play with it for a long time and start to learn what brightness means and contrast and what exposure, just all the different levels it allows you to set. And if you just insist on using actions, there's plenty of free ones out there. There's Action Central. I found some plugins and some actions there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several other. If you just type in free actions, they're out there. But I would try learn your editor first, and then once you learn your editor on that RAW editor, once you start playing that and know what everything does and getting your pictures right, then go look for the actions. Don't do it vice versa, because then every picture is not going to fit that action that you're going to try to use on it, and it may just not look right. You may not know the difference unless you played around with the pictures before. So
okay. Okay.
I'd say that's probably my number one thing. Play around with the editor. Learn what all those sort of different sliders and functions do. It definitely helps.
Okay. Cool. Where can people find your pictures and see your service?
Sure. You can find a lot of our pictures on our blog for our adoption.
Uh-huh.
It's onedayclosseradoption.blogspot.com.
Okay.
It's kind of a long name,
right.
but let me repeat it again. It's onedayclosseradoption.blogspot.com.
Okay.
And that's where we put a lot of our family shots and stuff as well, and some other things related to our adoption.
Okay. Awesome, man. One more question, and that's sort of on the business setup side of this. I know you're only 6 months into it, but now you've got some income. So how are you going to structure this from a business perspective to, I guess, make it ideal for taxes and or doing the adoption?
Right now we're meeting with a CPA, and we're not going to have any guesswork here. We want to make sure it's done the ethically and the very best way it can be done. But a lot of our sessions right now, because I haven't bought equipment and haven't invested. A lot of our sessions are considered donations, and some of them are not. It just depends on how the client approaches. If they approach us and we want to give to your adoption, and they gave us a check or cash, and then we offered to take pictures for them, and that's happened a few times in that case. But our knowledge at this point, they're considering that a gift or a donation.
Okay.
But all of them, they come to me for pictures exclusively. We have a separate account set up, and we're going to follow with our CPA here in the turn of the year, and we're going to definitely do what he advises. We're not going to try to figure this one out on our own. We're going to kind of yield to a CPA professional, so I'm going to help us with that.
Okay, good advice. But have you set up an actual business yet, an LLC or anything?
We have it right now, and that's something that we're kind of behind the curve on because we didn't anticipate the success, I guess, and that's the hard part sometimes is something you invest a lot of time setting up everything and then it's a flop, but then sometimes
right.
you attempt something and it's success and you're not set up for it. That's kind of the way we are right now.
Yeah.
And we're like,
yeah.
Wow, you know, this is incredible.
So you're just 6 months into it now. Do you expect to do this for some time going forward?
We actually, my wife and I talked about it a couple of nights ago and decided that this could be a great extra income for us when our child from Ethiopia comes home to live with us.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be those months, those bonding months when she is here and she's a little baby. And so we figured my wife could stay home if I could continue to generate some income on the side to help compensate for her not working her little part-time jobs right now.
Awesome.
So her primary goal was to stay at home, but she does work some hours at church to help with child care, and so this kind of frees her up to be able to stay at home with the child when she gets here and be able to not have to worry about that. So.
Awesome. I want to do I know there's a lot of people out there interested in the finances behind adopting a child, and so I definitely want to do a follow-up interview with you at some point on the whole adoption process. But I think it's
absolutely
great, obviously, what you're doing and the way you've taken this approach to kind of take part of this burden on your own shoulders and use your spare time to really do this has just been wonderful. So it's been wonderful to see, and I think it's a great idea. And I think a lot of people will be impressed with this interview, and I know you've given them some good technical advice too. So anything else before I let you go? Any of your last tips or advice you want to share with any future freelance photographers out there?
Yeah, this would be less targeted to photographers, but just in general, because I know a lot of people are listening to this, maybe wanting to generate some extra income for the holidays or for, just for life in general. Is that you can find something that you already have some sense of confidence or skill at. You know, if you're a crafty woman who, hey, I've done some crafts, maybe there's something that's not that you've done before, but it's right on the cusp of challenging just a little bit, but you kind of feel confident in that area. Like for me, photography was something it was in my area of expertise. It's just off the cusp of it, and so I just kind of just dove right in.
Mm-hmm.
I would say for somebody who's crafty, think about what's just out of reach, something that you haven't tried before that could generate a little bit of extra income, and it'd be fun for you to be challenged and learn a new skill and do that. You don't have to reinvent yourself and come up with something totally different. If you're not a creative person, maybe photography is not your deal, even though you're listening to this right now. Maybe you need to look at what you already have as far as your skill set, and just go a little bit beyond that circle and look for something. That's what I did, and that worked for me.
Man, awesome advice. Well, I appreciate you being on with me, Justin, and good luck to you going forward, and let me know if there's any way I can help you guys out.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
Yep.
All right, that does it for this week's podcast. You can always find me at ptmoney.com. You can email me at pt@ptmoney.com, and you can also hopefully find this podcast on iTunes soon. I appreciate you guys listening, and I will be back next week.